greetings everyone and welcome to the Law Hour and Editorial Review. The Law Hour is an educational service in the public interest. I'm your narrator, George Gordon. The Law Hour is sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. Now, the Law Hour is the Law Hour and Editorial Review is heard nationally 7 days a week here in the United States and in more than 80 countries around the world over the Internet. If you'd like more information about the Law Hour and Editorial Review, please visit our webpage at georgegordon.org. Again, that's georgegordon.org. The Law Hour and Editorial Review brings you important information about law, news, and current events. So stay tuned for tonight's special report on the profits as soon as we come back. Hey, let me ask you this. What do you think's wrong with the Ten Commandments? Because it's pretty obvious by now that something is wrong with the Ten Commandments because they've been banned from our public schools, they're banned from our public institutions, and they've been banned from our national consciousness. Now, instead of these 10 simple time-tested laws, we see the 10 planks to the Communist Manifesto in their place, and they're teaching the 10 planks to the Communist Manifesto to our children in schools, in our public institutions, and we've made them a part of our national psyche. Now, this is a pretty radical change in our political and moral outlook over the past 50 years, don't you think? Are you aware, for instance, that your daughter couldn't receive an aspirin in your public school without your consent, but she can have an abortion arranged through that same public school nurse without even your knowledge, much less your consent? And that's why I contend that the solution to this moral perversion and national insanity is to go back to what worked. Let's go back to the Ten Commandments and the Mosaic Law. You know, our founding fathers practiced and they advocated the Ten Commandments. They even put 22 principles of that law into our federal constitution. And there's still at least one school left in America that teaches this entire Mosaic Law, the Ten Commandments, and all 759 statutes, judgments, and commandments, as well as the penalties, and the 33 benefits that we all receive for their observance. Now, you know, every law has a penalty, and you don't have to know what the penalty of a law is to suffer from its effect. So whether you call that the Mosaic Law, the Law of God, the Common Law, Natural Law, or Karma, or something else, it's automatic. And it works just like AIDS, herpes, and VD, which just happens to be the natural penalty for adultery. Now, for more information, call and order our free general law CD package. That's the place to start. It's a 4-hour commentary on the law in general. Remember, it's educational, it's informative, it's entertaining. Best of all, it's free. You can call and order one right now. The number is 417-273-4967. If you're online, you can go to our website, georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org. Just click onto the email machine and send us an email request for that free general law CD package. Once more, that's georgegordon.org, or call us direct at 417-273-4967. Do it right now before you forget. All right, what's the answer to all of this? I got a letter in here, I don't know, three months ago now, from Steve in Pennsylvania. I don't answer all of these too promptly, but at some point in time I get around to it, and we've been talking about prophets in the Bible. I pointed out to you that the word prophet appears in the Bible 238 times. It's a bunch. So we went through this thing of George Gordon as a false prophet, and he's preaching another Christ. Some of it I'm admitting to. Some of it I'm denying. One of the things that I was denying is that I'm a preacher or a prophet in any capacity. I pointed out that I don't have that authority. There are people that do. I don't know of any. I mean, I don't personally know of any prophets or any preachers that I would recommend. Oftentimes people call me and say, "Can you recommend somebody in my area?" No, I really can't, because I don't know what those people teach, you know. I don't know what they actually practice. Some of them have a good line. That's certainly true. And oftentimes, the guy that has a good line, he's a con man. And so the better the guy's line, the less I like him, the less I trust him. I'd prefer somebody that's just kind of a plain-spoken, plain-talking guy that says, "Well, this is what I think," and that's kind of why I like Mike Huckabee. You know, he's a pretty good guy. For a religious guy. You know, for a politician, a religious guy, you know. Pretty good guy. And I think he's sincere, and I think he means what he says and says what he means, but he's a communist. you know, nice guy, but he's a communist. And the only non-communist over there, I'm not sure that Ron Paul believes in the Ten Commandments. You know, if I was going to vote for somebody, I'd vote for somebody like Mike Huckabee, or I might vote for Ron Paul, you know, a non-communist. I'd kind of like to vote for some guy that was a non-communist who obeyed God, kept his commandments, and then told us, you know, that I'm opposed to the Federal Reserve and the income tax, and I think we ought to obey God and keep his commandments. Now, you're going to find somebody like that very, very rarely. There's some guys out there like that. But those are minor party, you know, third party candidates, you know, that are advocating that we practice the Constitution, things like that. Now, Ron Paul is a mainline. I mean, he's running for the Republican nomination. I think he's got about as much chance as a snowball in hell. But, you know, God bless him anyway. And it gives you another opportunity to look back and say, well, we had an opportunity here with Steve Forbes. He said, let's abolish the IRS and let's change this income tax, this abortion that we call the income tax. Let's change that to something more intelligent like a flat tax. Well, that's what the tithe is. It's a flat tax. Everybody pays 10%. And the people of America rejected Steve Forbes. I mean, they just rejected him. The Republicans rejected him, and they embraced Bill Clinton, who is in favor of the income tax and the Federal Reserve and so on. He's an establishment man. Well, that's fine. I mean, I'm not opposed to people being establishment people. You know, if you want to be a communist, that's your choice in life. It's just that it hasn't produced very good results. Hillary Clinton, now she wants to give us socialized medicine. But in the countries where you have socialized medicine, it has not worked very well. I'm not in favor of socialized medicine. Now, if the rest of you want to have socialized medicine, you go ahead and get after it. But leave me out of it. That's my view. So, the false prophets are telling us that everything is fine. And these false prophets take the guise of politicians. Some of them are preachers. Some of them are business leaders. And they have all of these different religious and political and economic, philosophical ideologies and practices. And God, they all sound so good, too, don't they? I mean, it's like listening to Katie Couric, the cheerleader of CBS. God, I love her. Everybody loves Katie. Now, if she'd come on the air and tell us the truth once in a while, she'd have something to love. I mean, something of real substance. So I told you last time, you know, about John Swinton, what he had to say about Katie Couric and Brian Williams and Charlie Gibson. Nice people. Likeable people. But then con artists, you know, have to be likeable, or they couldn't be successful. So, George Bush was a good con artist. He sold us his candidacy twice. We bought it. Franklin Roosevelt was a wonderful con artist. Bill Clinton is probably as great as or better than both of them. And the problem is that con artists are liars. Now, we've bought their lies, and last time I showed you, you know, we not only bought their lies, we love them. Bought right into it, and we love it. All right, so now where does that leave you and I? Some of us back here don't want to buy into this BS. Now, the scripture is written in code, and it's written in code to hide its real meaning. So I thought in this concluding segment that I should reveal that code. So if you've got a pen and paper out here, I'm gonna go through about 25 scriptures here in this 1 hour, and I'm going to read to you the code. I've decoded it for you. This is for Steve up in Pennsylvania. Now, he thinks that I'm a false prophet, and I may well be, preaching another Christ, and I don't deny it. But I deny that I'm preaching any other Christ than is here in the Scripture, because I've cited it pretty faithfully. I've tried hard now. I researched it out, and it's up to you to decide, well, what do you think? It is true. What I'm telling you is diametrically, it is exactly the opposite from what you got from the Pope and the Southern Baptist Conference of Baptists and the Episcopalians and the Protestants and the Jews and everybody else. It's exactly the opposite. And the best part of it was I didn't have to think up any of it myself. In fact, if you'd have sat me down and said, Gordon, think up something that's exactly opposite from Catholicism, I couldn't have thought that up. I'm not that smart. Honest to God, I don't think I could have come up with anything like this. You know, like the Christmas tree being pagan and don't swear an oath and to think not that I've sent peace on earth. My God, I was brainwashed like everybody else. It wasn't until I opened the scripture that I saw that it was something different, you know, and so then that's why I came along and I reported that. So what I'm admitting to is being a reporter that's reporting some things from the Bible that's really wild and off the wall. Well, first of all, let's start with Psalm 111:10. So write that down. It's PS 111:10, and here's what it says. It says, "The fear of the Eternal is the beginning of wisdom, and a good understanding have all they that do His commandments, and His praise endures forever." Well, the opposite of a good understanding have all they who do His commandments is a bad understanding or a poor understanding of all they who do not do His commandments. Proverbs 1 verse 7, "The fear of the Eternal is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction." Those that despise the wisdom and instruction from the Scripture are called fools by God in Proverbs 1 verse 7. In Proverbs 9 verse 10, that's P-R-O-V 9 verse 10, "The fear of the Eternal is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy is understanding." Should read, "The knowledge of the Holy One is understanding." In Isaiah 28, verses 9 through 13, here's the code itself. Isaiah 28, verses 9 through 13. "Whom shall he teach knowledge? And whom shall he make to understand doctrine? Them that are weaned from the milk and drawn from the breasts. For precept must be upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, line upon line. Here a little, and there a little. For with stammering lips and another tongue will I speak to this people, to whom he said, 'This is the rest wherewith you may cause the weary to rest, and this is the refreshing.' Yet they would not hear. But the word of the Eternal was upon them, precept upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, line upon line, here a little and there a little, that they might go and fall backward and be broken and snared and taken." And boys and girls, that is exactly where religion is today. They have been broken. They have fallen backward. They have been snared. They have been taken. In Daniel 12, verses 8 through 10, Daniel wanted to understand this code. He had written this prophecy. He had heard the story. And he asked Big Mike, and he said, "And I heard, but I understood not. Then said I, O my Lord, what shall the end of these things be?" And he said, "Go your way, Daniel, for the words are closed up and sealed till the time of the end. Many shall be purified and made white and tried. But the wicked shall do wickedly, and none of the wicked shall understand, but the wise shall understand." All right, now, remember, a good understanding have all they who do His commandments. And the fear of the Eternal is the beginning of knowledge. And the fear of the Eternal is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy is understanding. You want to have wisdom and understanding, you've got to practice the Ten Commandments. And none of the wicked, none of those of you who refuse to practice the Ten Commandments will understand the end from the beginning. You will not understand the program or the plan. And it's designed that way, and it's in your best interest, because if you understood it, you would be responsible for it. And so because you don't practice the Ten Commandments, you don't have good understanding. Without good understanding, you're no longer responsible for your actions. Now, you'll pay for them. There's no doubt about that. But you're not going to go into hellfire. So, you know, you're sitting out there and you're a scientist or you're a doctor, a dentist, a lawyer, something like that, saying, "Well, what in the hell is this screwball talking about?" I'm telling you very plainly, you're not going to hellfire and burn for all eternity for your mistakes or for your wickedness and your evil for a period of 100 years. That's what I'm telling you. Which is what you inherently and innately knew anyway. But you got a bunch of religious people over here telling you you're going to go to hell because you believe in evolution. Poppycock. Evolution is poppycock. No doubt about that. But you're not going to hell because you're believing in this poppycock. That's poppycock of and by itself. It's that the blind are leading the blind and both of you are falling in the ditch. Well, Daniel wanted to know, but he couldn't understand it. And Big Mike told him, I ain't telling either. I mean, Daniel went into his grave. He never understood this. Now, in the end time, he said, many shall be purified and made white and tried. But the wise shall understand. Now, if you want some wisdom over here, let's start practicing the Ten Commandments. A good understanding have all they who do his commandments. Remember, that's in Psalm 111:10. Now, in Matthew 13, verses 10 through 17, his disciples came to him and said, why do you speak to these people in parables? And he answered and said unto them, because it's given unto you to know the mystery of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it isn't given. For whosoever has, to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance. But whosoever has not, from him shall be taken away, even that which he has. Therefore speak I to them in parables, because they seeing they see not, and hearing they hear not, and neither do they understand. And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which says, by hearing you shall hear, and you shall not understand. And seeing you shall see, and you shall not perceive. Let me find my spot here. Yeah, here it is. And you shall not perceive. For the people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and should understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them. But blessed are your eyes, because they see. And blessed are your ears because they hear. For truly I say unto you, that many prophets and righteous men have desired to see those things which you see, and they have not seen them. And to hear those things which you hear, and they have not heard them. Remember, that was Daniel. He said, hey, tell me the answer to all this. And he said, nope, I ain't telling you. These things are closed up and sealed to the time of the end. The wise will understand, Dan, and the wicked will not understand. And that's because you're responsible for that which you know. So the guy that wrote Too Long in the Sun, he put a page. He understood that principle of law. And he wrote a page, first page in his book. He said, now, if you're not planning to practice the law of God, don't read any further. Good point. Good point. Now, God, on the other hand, you know, he's not here trying to convert you or trying to get you to give your heart to Jesus, you know, or join this or that church. But he has set down in the scripture this principle of the watchman. The principle of the watchman. And surely the eternal will do nothing but that he reveals his secret to his prophets. And so the first thing he did is he gave us the prophets and he said, now here's what I'm going to do to you. And then he comes back a step later and he says, now I'm not going to do this until I've warned you in advance. So he's going to tell you, here's what I'm going to do. And so I'm just a messenger, I'm the reporter, and I said, I thought that it was important that you know that in Deuteronomy 28, he says he's got his manure-kicking boots on and he's in the process of kicking hiney. So as a reporter, I would be derelict if I didn't report that. Katie Couric ain't going to report that, neither is Brian Williams, but I am. So I'm going to tell you, that's what your problem is. Now remember, that comes from Matthew 13, verses 10 through 17. And the citation from Daniel comes from Daniel 12, verse 8 through 10. The citation on whom shall he teach knowledge is from Isaiah 28, 9 through 13. Now, who is he going to tell this to? Who are these wise guys that can understand this? Years ago, I looked at that and I said, you know, I would like to be one of these wise guys. I would like to understand this. How do I go about doing that? So as I went through and code pled the scripture, after I learned how to code plead from Judge Becker in Gooding, Idaho, the old judge there, he taught me how to code plead. He looked at me, you know, he said, "Did you code plead that statute?" I looked at him like I was Mork from Mork, you know, like, "Huh? What are you talking about?" And he just shook his head. He says, "Oh my God, you came into court and you're in here arguing this argument and you haven't even co-pled it out? You don't even know what you're talking about, do you, Gordon?" Yep, yeah, he's right. I didn't know what the hell I was talking about. But I learned. So once I learned how to co-plead that out, I got to looking at Blackstone's commentaries, and Blackstone, as I looked at it, I said, "My God, this guy's talking about the Bible here." Blackstone. Judge Blackstone. The English jurist Blackstone, who wrote Blackstone's commentaries, was citing from the Bible. That was clear back in 1757. And I said, "What in the hell is this all about? Why is this guy citing from the Bible? Doesn't he understand the separation of church and state? Huh?" Yeah, that's right. This English judge, he didn't understand that separation of church and state either. Our founding fathers put 22 principles of the Ten Commandments into our federal constitution. It's obvious those fools did not understand the separation of church and state. Thank God we've got George Bush, huh? Thank God we've got our Supreme Court today that can explain to us why it is we need the separation of church and state, and why we need to kick the Ten Commandments out of our public schools, and why it is that your 14-year-old daughter can have an abortion arranged through your public school nurse without even your knowledge. All right, now in Matthew 22, verse 14, very short, plain statement. It says, "Many are called, but few are chosen." Can you grasp the significance of that statement? Harken back to Matthew chapter 13. You know, you people go to church and somebody reads the Bible to you. You don't understand it. It's just a mystery to you. And that's because many are called, but very few are chosen. He repeated that in Matthew 20, verse 16. He says, "So the last shall be first, and the first shall be last. For many be called, but few chosen." Now, I'm one of those that's called, but I don't know if I'm going to be chosen. And so when I listen to some guy come up, "Are you saved, brother? Have you been saved?" Hell, I didn't know I'd been lost until you told me. And the guy, you know, they knock on your door and they mean well. I'm sure that these guys are sincere people. You know, they're trying to save you. Hell, they'd have a hard time saving themselves. You know, boys and girls, if you can save yourself out of this great tribulation that's coming down on us, you will have done a great work. 9/10 of all of the people that are alive and drawing breath on planet Earth today will be dead, D-E-D, dead, when Jesus steps down on planet Earth. 90%. Hell, even the secular people at the Club of Rome are telling you that. That's their goal. That's their ambition. They say they want to reduce the Earth's population by 90% by the year 2050. It ain't going to take that long, kids. I don't think that this thing can go on until the year 2050. I will be amazed if it does. I will be amazed if it goes on to 2050. But, here again, I'm not a prophet. I can't tell you that it will or it won't. I'm just telling you that it doesn't look that way to me. Now, on the other hand, you know, the wise shall understand. There are some that are being called at this time who actually are going to be saved. That is, they're going to come up in the first resurrection and they're going to receive eternal life and rulership over the nations. I have high hopes. I'd like to be in that group, but I don't have any way of knowing that. I would be presumptuous if I said, "I have been saved." I listened to Kent Hovind the other day. He's a great guy. I like him. And I'm not running old Kent down. He's a great guy. And he really lays it out in spades, you know, when it comes to evolutionary philosophy. But he says, you know, "I was saved on February 16th, 1968. Talk about presumptuous. the guy probably, really honest to God, believes it, but he's got his head up the wrong end of his anatomy. Not only is it presumptuous, he doesn't know that. Then he won't know that until the time has arrived. Many will say to me in that day, hey, haven't we done all these great works? Kent Hovind's done a lot of great works. And he's going to say to me, or I'm going to say to God, hey, God, Jesus, hey, wait a minute, haven't I done many great works? I did a lot of programs on the air touting the Ten Commandments. Boy, am I going to be disappointed when he says, hey, Gordon, depart from me, you that work iniquity. I'm going to be very, very sad if that comes to pass. So, you know, here again, I got to tell you, I'm not saved. I haven't made the grade yet. I don't know if I'm going to make it. I have high hopes. I'd like to. And the reason I can say, yeah, I've been called is because, yeah, I understand pig. And so I don't eat it. And yeah, I understand many of these principles of law in the scripture. I understand about my neighbor's wife. I got to keep my hands off her. But, you know, I've done a lot of bad things in the past. And an old Steve over here, he says, you're still doing bad things. Why, you're still deceiving people. You're a false prophet. I'm preaching another Christ. Well, okay. You got to do what you got to do. But I want to tell you this, Steve. I'm fully aware of what I'm doing and where I'm going. And if you're right, boy, have I got a hiney kicking coming. And you could be. I don't deny it. I hope you're not right, but you could be. Now in Matthew 11, verses 25 through 27, it says, at that time Jesus answered and said, I thank you, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hid these things from the wise and the prudent, and you have revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in your sight. All things are delivered unto me of my Father, and no man knows the Son but the Father, neither knoweth any man the Father save the Son, and he to whomsoever the Son will reveal him. The Messiah came to reveal these secrets between himself and the Father. There's two of these gods, two of these great creators. In fact, he uses the term, you know, in the first chapter, says, let us, is mentioned in the scripture more than once. Let us go down. Yeah, I got to give you a reminder here that you're listening to The Law Hour, an editorial review sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. And The Law Hour is heard 7 days a week here in the United States. We're heard worldwide over the internet daily. If you'd like more information about the law school and The Law Hour, please go to our website at georgegordon.org. That's georgegordon.org. Now, the law school teaches family law, tax law, courtroom strategy and procedure, business law, agricultural law, civil rights, and a biblical law from the scriptural perspective. That's 8 schools in total. The law school is a private, non-commercial, non-profit, non-sectarian law school that is open to individuals but by pre-arrangement. The law school conducts a homeschooling program for adults and compact disc. For more information, please go to the homeschooling page on the website at georgegordon.org. Now, the Law Hour website is updated every week. It has a radio log schedule and archives that can be accessed through the website as well. Remember, the Law Hour is carried worldwide over the internet. All of these Law Hour programs are archived on the internet by title and date. For your listening convenience, the Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. The Law Hour brings you timely reports on law, science, education, politics, religion, news, and current events, and we do it 7 days a week. Now, the law school offers a free 4-hour introductory CD package. Be sure to order yours by calling the law school at 417-273-4967. Now, the opinions, beliefs, comments, views, and expressions that you hear on this program, they're mine and mine alone. They don't necessarily represent the beliefs and opinions of the advertisers, the sponsors, the management, or the staff of this network or of this local radio station. For more information about the Law Hour and editorial review, please go to our website at georgegordon.org. Again, that's georgegordon.org. Or call us direct at 417-273-4967. All right, we're talking about prophets, false prophets. true prophets, another Christ, another gospel. And there's a bunch of that going on. You can see that. It's out there for everybody to observe. So we've been exploring that from the perspective of the Scripture, and I came to a section of Scripture that I code-pled out to tell you the answer to the riddle. The answer to the riddle. You know, the last program I got kind of heavy-handed here on the sodomites. Truth of the matter is, the average sodomite does not know, nor does he understand the Ten Commandments. He does not understand the law of God. And that's good. Because if he did, he would be responsible for what he knows, as we saw in Matthew chapter 13. So the Messiah spoke in parables so they couldn't understand. And we learned that the wicked shall not understand. None of the wicked will understand. And it's for their own protection. Now they can gnash their teeth and gnaw on their tongues. And they can hate and despise God and me and everybody associated with the program. And that's fine. No problem. They will pay for it. They'll die in their sins. But they'll come up in the second resurrection. And that's where they will get their opportunity to understand this. That's when it will be revealed to them in spades, live and direct, from the boss himself. Meanwhile, back on the farm, there's an opportunity here for a thing called the better resurrection. You'll find that in Hebrews chapter 9. It's called the better resurrection. And that better resurrection is the first resurrection. So if you want to know about the first, second, and third resurrection, you'll find those in Revelation chapter 20. Three resurrections. Now, I'd like to make chapter 1, first resurrection. Now, if I miss the first resurrection, which could happen, then I hope to make the second resurrection. And if I miss the second resurrection, well, then there's only one left. You know, that's the third resurrection into the lake of fire, which isn't, you know, all that bad, because the concept that has been espoused by the pagans and the heathens and the Christians is that you're going to burn for all eternity in hell fire. The good news is you're not going to burn for all eternity in hell fire. You're going to be killed. You're going to be dead. D-E-D. Dead. Termination of life, where there is no knowledge, no feeling, no nothing. That's good news. It's, you know, not the best of the three, but it's not the bad news that you get for, you know, you're a bad guy for a long time, and you've done a lot of bad things. But do you really deserve to be tormented and tortured for eternity for something that you did for, you know, less than 100 years? It pictures God as being some kind of a sadistic maniac. This God is not a sadistic maniac. I can't speak for the other gods, you know, they'll speak for themselves. Well, they can't speak at all, can they? All right, so now in Acts 28, verses 25 through 28, it says, "And when they agreed not among themselves, they departed. After that, Paul had spoken one word, 'Well spake the Holy Ghost by Isaiah the prophet unto our fathers, saying, Go unto this people and say, Hearing you shall hear, and you shall not understand, and seeing you shall see, and you shall not perceive. For the heart of this people is waxed gross, their ears are dull of hearing, their eyes they have closed, lest they should see with their eyes, hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them. Be it known therefore unto you that the salvation of God is sent unto the Gentiles, and that they will hear it.' Now, we, the Israelites, rejected God. We have rejected our God from Mount Sinai forward. So as a result of that, with the first coming of the Messiah, he opened this up to the Gentiles. So now, all of you people, all you blacks, all you Chinese, all of you Gentiles out there, you've got the same opportunity that the white Anglo-Saxons have. At the first resurrection, you get the same opportunity. But only those that are called are going to hear. And if you haven't been called, sit back and relax. You know, a lot of times people call here and say, "Well, my wife or my husband, they don't believe." So what? So what's the problem? They can't come unless they're called. And many are called, but few are chosen. So if they haven't been chosen, so what's the problem? Not everybody is going to come up in the first resurrection. That's why you got a first resurrection, a second resurrection, and a third resurrection. Boys and girls, if everybody could come up in the first resurrection, you wouldn't need a second one. I mean, come on, let's get real. The reason you got a second resurrection is because not everybody can make the first. Although the first one is the one you'd like to make. So the Apostle Paul cited this same scripture that comes from Isaiah chapter 6. You know, the Messiah quoted Isaiah chapter 6. He said, you know, you guys have dull ears and you can't see. Bill Clinton and Hillary Clinton, you know, they just got eyes that can't see and ears that are dull of hearing. They mean well. They want to give you national socialized insurance. And my God, they may even believe in it. Now, there are some people out there that know a little bit too much. And I would suspect that Billy Graham, 33rd degree Mason, knew that he is involved in Satan worship. That Masonry is the highest form of Baal worship or of Satan worship in the world today. And he learned that at the 30th degree. Now he went on from the 30th to the 31st, 32nd, and now he's 33rd degree. I don't know, Billy, you might know a little bit more than was good for you. Now I'm not a judge, and I'm not here to say Billy Graham's going to the lake of fire. I don't know. Hell, that's not for me to decide. I can hardly decide what's good for myself, much less somebody else. But again, I want to illustrate the fact that, you know, those that know a lot, much is going to be required of them. In Romans 8:7, because the carnal mind is enmity against God, it isn't subject to the law of God, and neither indeed can be. The normal, natural, average Joe six-pack has a carnal mind, and his carnal mind is enmity against God. So if you're just a normal, run-of-the-mill Joe six-pack lawyer, and you just hate God and the Bible, or you're an evolutionist, hey, join a club, you're normal. You're normal, everything's fine. Kick back and sit back and relax. In Romans 11, verses 7 through 9, what then? Israel has not obtained that which he seeketh for, but the election has obtained it. And the rest were blinded, according as it is written. God has given them the spirit of slumber, eyes that they should not see, and ears that they should not hear unto this day. And David saith, let their table be made a snare, and a trap, and a stumbling block, and a recompense unto them. Now you got a physical life here, and we got some bad troubles coming up, and this balance of payments problem we have with the Chinese, one of these days they're going to shut this off. And that siege that we saw in Deuteronomy 28, a siege, it's an embargo. It's when you shut off all these people's supplies. And we Americans have outsourced all of our industries and our jobs. And then we didn't pay the guys that were paying us. They know that we're delivering the goods. And one of these days, they're going to shut the goods off. That'll be the siege. 99% of our shoes come in from overseas. You know, when the guys that are making your shoes put you under an embargo and impose a siege, you're going to go barefoot. You also make our food, 50% of our food coming into this country now comes from overseas. And then on top of that, you got God sending Hurricane Katrina and sending drought to Atlanta, Georgia. That ain't good. Come on, kids. Tain't good. I didn't make it that way. I can't ease up your pain, and I can't make it worse. All I can do is report it to you. Now, there's a solution to this. So God told us what the solution was. He said, now, if you'll return to me, now, if you'll sit down and shut up and follow my instructions, now, I'll let you off the hook. Here's 1 Corinthians 1:26. For you see, they're calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. Not very many Bill Clintons you're going to find here practicing the Ten Commandments. 2 Corinthians 4, verses 3 and 4. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. in whom the god of this world has blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. You know, if you people out there understand pig, then you better not eat it. If you understand the Ten Commandments, boys and girls, you better practice it. If you understand the Sabbath, then by golly, you better get after it. If you understand Jeremiah 10, verses 1 through 6, next year you better not practice that Christmas thing over there. Now you see your calling. Now if you see your calling, then you better perform. I had a student here one time, and he came in and he said, you know, I was better off before I ever met you. And I said, why is that, Dennis? And he said, well, because I was a bead-flipping Catholic and I didn't know much. But now, he said, I'm responsible for what I know. I said, well, that's true. Yeah, you're responsible for what you know. You ought to perform. If you know something to be true, then you ought to perform on that. And there's a few people out there that do that. You know, I think Ron Paul is one of those. That guy sticks with his story. Mike Huckabee, you know, the guy actually believes. I mean, he may be deceived. He may have a lie or two in his brain, but the guy actually believes it. Mike Huckabee does not have to reinvent himself. He, honest to God, believes what he believes. And he practices it. I've been watching Huckabee. He's been governor down here in Arkansas, and I'm just 6 miles away from him. And he's on AETN. I mean, I think the guy is honest and upfront. That Rudy Giuliani is as phony as a Federal Reserve note. He's an establishment insider. No, I don't think Huckabee is an establishment insider. That's my take on him. And I know Ron Paul is. In fact, both of them, Huckabee and Paul, if they were to win the nomination, they'll be assassinated. They will not live. Those guys are not going to be allowed to live. Only by God's intervention could those two guys live to serve out a term as president. Once in a while, God does that. You know, when the nation repents, like they did with Sodom, Nineveh. When Jonah went to Nineveh, the king repented, and so did a bunch of people. And so God intervened for them and protected them for 40 years. Did the same thing when Josiah repented and the people repented around him. You know, he saved Israel for a number of years without sending them into national captivity. He said, you know, I'd thought to send you into national captivity, but no, I'm not going to do that because you've repented. If we had about, 3 to 5 million Americans that would repent, obey God, and keep His commandments, he might stall this thing off for 40 years. It could happen. It's not very likely, but it could. Now, in John 6:44, now here's a very, very valuable statement. John 6:44 says, no man can come to me except the Father, which has sent me, draws him, and I'll raise him up at the last day. Boys and girls, you're not coming unless you've been called. And if you're not called, you can't be chosen. I mean, that's just where reality is at. So the idea that we should go out here and teach every savage in the Ituri rainforest, yes, Jesus loves me. I mean, these guys are sincere. They're over there, you know, trying to do what they think the Bible tells them. Just got their heads up the wrong end again. If they were paying attention here, no man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draws him, I'll raise him up at the last day. In Ephesians 1 verse 9, he says, having made known unto us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he has purposed in himself. The scripture is a total mystery. Hell, it's a mystery to everybody until the mystery is revealed. And unless it's revealed, that's what code pleading is all about. You're not going to understand it. And if you don't understand it, you're not going to obey it. And if you don't obey it, you're not coming into the first resurrection. See how simple that is? But you're all coming up in the second resurrection, whether you like it or not. Hell, even Adolf Hitler, Genghis Khan, and Joe Stalin are coming up, like it or lump it. I don't know what they're thinking on this creator God was, but whether they like it or not, they're going to talk to him live and direct. You know, here's the Messiah. He's going to, hey Joe, come over here. I got a bitch with you. Didn't you kill a bunch of Poles, about 13,000 of them over there, and blame it on the Nazis? Hey, aren't you the guy that did that? Now, explain that to me, Joe. Yeah, Joe Stalin's going to have an opportunity to explain himself. This thing is called a mystery, and it's called a mystery because that's exactly what it is. In 2 Thessalonians 2, verses 11 and 12, he says, "And for this cause God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie." God, this is the Creator, has sent the majority of mankind strong delusion. Hey, all you Christmas keepers out there, you are suffering from strong delusion, believing that little fat men, no, great big fat men fit down 6-inch chimney pipes into hot oil-burning heaters. That's what they were teaching me about Santa Claus. I said, oh my God, he's coming down our chimney into our oil furnace? Won't he be burned alive in there, Granny? Oh no, Santa Claus is magic. How's he going to open the door to get out to put the presents? Oh, he's magic. He can open the door. That was my grandmother taught me that crap. Nice lady, but I'm just dumb as a box of rocks. This is 2 Thessalonians 2, verses 11 and 12. "That they all might be condemned who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness." You know, all you people out there taking pleasure in unrighteousness in San Francisco? Okay, you know, buckle up, kids. Put your head between your knees and kiss your ass goodbye. Because that's the bottom line. Put your head between your knees. As they used to say out on the Logan Show. Revelation 12, verse 9. "That great dragon was cast out, that old serpent. He was called the devil and Satan, which deceives the whole world." I mentioned that earlier. The whole world is deceived. Okay, well, if that statement is true, then George Gordon's been deceived. And so my job then is, well, gosh, if I've been deceived, what do I have to do? Hey, Steve, you got the same problem over here. Hey, Steve, if this statement is true, you've been deceived just like I was. And so you're going to have to go through this just like I did, code plead it out and see if you can put, you know, the spades and clubs in different piles and the hearts and diamonds into different piles and sort it out. And if you're able to do that, if you've been called, see, I don't know. I can't tell you. A lot of people call here and they say, what am I going to do with my wife or my husband? What do you want me to do, write them an invitation to the first resurrection, the second coming? Huh? What's George Gordon going to do for you? Again, you know, I'm a reporter. I'm not the Messiah. I can't save you. Now, you can save yourself. You know, Kent Hovind says, are you saved, brother? Hey, you know, you can do a lot to save yourself. And you're getting the clue right here. You know, if you'd obey God and keep His commandments, a good understanding of all they would do His commandments, you know, whom will He teach knowledge? Them that are, you know, weaned from the milk and drawn from the breast. There's a whole lot that you can do for yourself. There isn't anything I can do for you. You know, you might earn yourself a calling here, you know. I don't know what His standards are. I don't know why He calls some people and not others, but, you know, I'm just a reporter. I'm reporting. That's the way He does it. 2 Peter 3:16, He says, "As also in all of His epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned and unstable rest, as they do also the other scriptures unto their own destruction." You know, a lot of you preachers out there rest and twist the scriptures of Paul to your own destruction. And there's your warning right there in 2 Peter 3:16. He says, you know, speaking of the Apostle Paul. And the reason for that is that Paul is a lawyer. Well, Paul studied at the feet of Gamaliel. The Apostle Paul had the equivalent of a Harvard Law School education. He was taught by the chief, one of the top law school professors of his day. And so Paul knew and understood the law. And he wrote it out the way he was instructed to write it by God Himself, who intended to send us strong delusion. You know, so if you're sitting there deluded, well, then that's That's what the intention was. The whole world has been deceived by Satan, and it's been deceived by Satan because God wanted it that way, because he doesn't want you to be responsible for your actions just yet. But you're going to be. But somebody needs to tell you, you know, it's time to shape up, you know. Shape up or ship out. That's what they used to tell us. In Isaiah 6, verses 9 and 10, here's that famous statement where he said, "Go and tell this people, hear you indeed, but understand not, and see you indeed, but perceive not. Make the heart of this people fat, and make their eyes heavy, and shut their eyes, lest they see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and convert and be healed." Hey, if you think Jesus is trying to get all you Baptists converted so that he can take you off to heaven, you're wrong again. Mark 4, verses 11 and 12, "And he said unto them, Unto you it is given to know the mystery of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. And unto them that are without, all these things are done in parables, that seeing they may see and not perceive, and hearing they may hear and not understand." You know all these religious guys, they go to church. "Do you know Jesus?" They're knocking on your door. "Do you know Jesus? Have you been saved?" I mean, these people aren't even on the first step of the ladder to saving themselves, much less somebody else. But they, honest to God, believe in their delusion that they have been saved, past tense, which is about as presumptuous as you can get. You were told not to be presumptuous. So I'm going to be a little more reserved and say, "Well, I don't know if I'm saved yet, Brother Kent. But I hope to be someday, and I won't know until the second coming when Jesus returns. He will let me know." There is little doubt in my mind that when he comes back, he is fully capable of speaking for himself. And he will say, "Gordon, come over here. I got a bitch with you. And here's what my complaints are. Now, what do you got to say for yourself?" And then, as the Apostle Paul said, "Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling." So I have my defense set up. And I know exactly what I'm going to tell him. In my own defense, you know, if there's any such thing as a defense. In Luke 8, verse 10, he said, "Unto you it is given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God, but to others in parables, that seeing they might not see, and hearing they might not understand." This is a mystery, kid. 1 Timothy 3:9, "Holding the mystery of the faith in a pure conscience." Romans 16, 25 and 26, "Now to him that is of power to establish you, according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery." Mystery. Get this mystery. "Which was kept secret until the world, or since the world began, but now is made manifest and by the scriptures of the prophets, according to the commandment of the everlasting God, made known to all nations for the obedience of faith." Hey, this thing's a mystery. 1 Corinthians 2, verses 7 and 8, "But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery." Ephesians 3, verses 1 through 11. It uses the word mystery 3 times. 3 times the word mystery is used. Ephesians 6, 19. "And for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel." This gospel is a mystery. Colossians 1, 26 and 27. "Even the mystery which has been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints." This mystery, this wisdom that was promised to Daniel, "The wise shall understand." The wise practice the law of God. The wise are not out here telling you that the commandments of God have been abolished and nailed to the cross with Jesus, and now you're under grace. You have license to sin, brother. That's poppycock. Nonsense. There isn't any judge out here going to buy into that. 1 Timothy 3:16, he says, "And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness." Did you get that? The mystery of godliness is great. And that's why the majority of mankind, you know, is over here practicing ungodliness, practicing iniquity. And the Messiah said, I'm going to tell you guys that practice iniquity, depart from me, you that practice iniquity. Now, you know, a lot of times people call me and they say, well, do you mean to tell me you practice the whole law of God? And so, listen up now. That's exactly what I intend to tell you. Did I always? No, no. Let me ask you this. Do you eat rat? I think most of you people are going to say, well, no, I don't eat rat. Do you think you could live the rest of your life without eating rat? Well, yeah, probably I could live the rest of my life without eating rat. Okay. Well, God told you don't eat rat. Did you know that? And so, if you don't eat rat, then you're obeying God and keeping His commandment. Now, did you know God told you not to eat pig? Now, boys and girls, if you can refrain from eating rat for the rest of your life, boys and girls, you can refrain from eating pig for the rest of your life. It isn't any harder to refrain from pig than it is rat. It's just a matter of, well, what tastes good. Now, I got to tell you, pig tastes real good. Hell, I learned to eat pickled pig's feet when I was 6 years old. Sat there with my granddad and ate pickled pig's feet and strawberry ice cream. And I'm telling you, if God made anything better than a pig to eat, He kept it for Himself. I didn't tell you it didn't taste good. I just said it's against the law to eat it. God told you don't eat it. So when you call me and say, well, do you mean that you obey all the laws of God? Yeah, I do. Yeah. There's a statute that requires you to put a sign up on your gate. I'm the only guy in Ozark County got the Ten Commandments up on his gate. Well, I'm not the only guy anymore. There's some other guys around the county now that have some up there, but I was the first, I think. Now, here's the moral of the story. Every Old Testament law is contained in the New Testament by a direct quotation, such as in Matthew 4:4. Man doesn't live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Or it's directly quoted from, as it was in Deuteronomy 8:3. And that's exactly where that was quoted from. Or by an example, such as muzzling the ox that you see in 1 Timothy 5:18. Or by a reference such as the fringe statute in Matthew 9:20. Now Matthew 4:4 is cited directly from Deuteronomy 8:3. 1 Timothy 5:8, muzzling the ox, is cited directly from Deuteronomy 25:4. Matthew 9:20 is cited directly from Deuteronomy 22:12, which is called the fringe statute. Now, boys and girls, we can practice the Ten Commandments and all of the statutes, judgments, and commandments of God if we want to. Now, whether or not you want to, that's your choice in life, not mine. I decided that I thought it was a pretty good program, so I recommend it highly. Hey, I'm out of time again. I got to leave it right there. And remind you that you have been listening to The Law Hour, an editorial review sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. Now remember, The Law Hour is heard 7 days a week here in the United States. 7 days a week. And you can hear us every day on the Internet. For more information about The Law School and The Law Hour, please go to our website at georgegordon.org. That's georgegordon.org. Now, The Law School is a private, non-commercial, non-profit, non-sectarian law school that is open to individuals but by prearrangement. The Law Hour is carried worldwide over the Internet, and all of these Law Hour programs are archived on the Internet by title and date. For your listening convenience, The Law School offers a free 4-hour introductory CD package. So be sure to order yours by calling The Law School at area code 417-273-4967. All right, our time's up. We got to leave it right there. So we'll see you back here tomorrow night. Same time, same station. God willing, of course. So until then, thanks for listening, everybody, and good night, friends.